Welcome to Garage Talk. This is your host, EBK. Today I'm going to talk to you about the collective. Now, it sounds kind of a weird statement, but really I'm trying to make an emphatic point. The collective is the narrative that's going on in the news media, the fake news that is being pushed on society. We are seeing at an alarming rate, we're seeing so many people being fed so much garbage, so much false narratives. We see 99% truth, but 1% lie. And we're seeing that manipulation that changes the whole course of how truth is presented. In fact, in many cases, I personally myself, I'll listen to CBC Radio or, you know, Canadian politics, and I also listen to American politics with Rush Limbaugh, who's a very informative guy, and Lars Larson, many others. But what I'm seeing is such a huge difference, people. When I look online as well, I see certain narratives being portrayed and stated. And what's so creepy is the consistent theme that goes on with many leftist news media outlets. You hear the same quotes being said, the same narratives being said. And I can give you an example. For instance, a global warming. What I call them is global atmospheric worshippers, or the worship of Atmos. It sounds crazy, but really it is the spirit of Atmos, as I would call it. People are screaming, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and they worship to appease the gods of false news and fake media scientific results. And they go, oh, this is what's gonna happen. We must appease the gods. We must sacrifice our children. We must sacrifice our lives. We must sacrifice everything for the greater good. And what happens is we literally toss everything that is logical out the window because there's a hysteria going on in our society. We're seeing people become literally void of any common sense. People are saying, we're gonna die in 5 years. We're gonna die in 4 years. We hear liberals or Democrats speaking out and saying, look what's happening. The world is falling apart. We're going to be destroyed in just a few years. We're all going to die. When you have that kind of hysteria, what you have is like a boiling pot, a melting pot. We have a convergence of ideologies of radical extremism coming together and melting into one dangerous melting pot of intensity. And you know what is crazy is, I'll tell you this, I've discussed with many millennials, I've talked with many people who come up to me and, you know, in passing, just in conversation, and they're very well-meaning people. They're saying things like, oh, you know, this person or this person's talking against Islam and then they do this cringy face and this kind of weird expression, just sort of explaining that, wow, they're really ignorant, and or the fact that it's a cringeworthy post. So they're implying that maybe it's racist or it's intolerant, etc. And often I respond and debate these statements by saying simply this: what does Islam preach? And you know, for 90% of the people who are making these critiques of others who are opposing Islam, they become silent because they don't even know what Islam preaches. They don't even know the text of the Quran. They don't know these things. And so what they're doing is just talking points. They're saying, hey, we should all love each other. We should all be embracing. We should all be encompassing. We should all be, you know, it goes on and on and on ad nauseum. But there's no way of verifying what is absolutely truthful and what is absolutely evil, or what is absolutely good and what is absolutely evil. What it comes to is just this neutrality of just, hey, we can't decide anything. No, you can decide a lot of things. In fact, many people do this every day. It's a daily occurrence. People are deciding when they go to a red light, or at least it's a yellow light, and they're approaching, and they go, should I go through the yellow, or should I stop? Should I, you know, Should I carry on? I can risk having a situation happen. I could run through a red light and somebody could be going through a green. I could cause an accident. Or maybe it just so happens that a pedestrian crosses and I could cause harm. So we have all these scenarios. And a person of common sense goes, you know what? They're going to evaluate the risk and then they're going to decide on that risk. And yet, for some reason, within our social media world that we're living in, people are said, don't evaluate. That's prejudice. That is insanity. You are being an extremist. Why? Because you're evaluating the problematic circumstance or the potential for a outcome that may be harmful. So you're vilified. You're brought into the encampment of, you know, or imprisonment of you are irrational. But we do this every day, people. We do this every day. We evaluate things. We say, look, the element is red. We shouldn't touch the element. It's dangerous. We come to an evaluation. We evaluate it. But what we're seeing is in society, people stating Islam is peaceful, Islam is this, or even globalist statements saying, look, we need to not have borders. We need to welcome everybody. Well, the problem is not everybody has a decent intention for that country that they're arriving to or that they're going to go into. They have intentions of not acclimating. They have intentions of not changing slightly or even remotely for the sake of the country that they're attending or that they're implying to live in. What they want to do is change the country. Now, I'm just talking about generalities in the sense, generalizing about issues that do occur. There are going to be people who do not want Canada or United States to be that type of society. They don't want democracy. What they want is Sharia law. What they want is everybody to bow to Islam. Now, that is just a given that those things are going to occur. If you look at statistics, there's a vast, numerous amount of people who support Sharia law in Islamic countries. We're talking in the millions and millions of the populace of the world who are supporting this extremism. So it is of sobriety that we ought to say, look, this is a concern and this is an issue and that we should be aware of this and that we should be careful with immigration, that we should be careful with how we talk in the sense that we shouldn't just openly welcome everything without being prudent. And this is the society we're living in. In fact, I talked to a few people today and again, there was the same common statements about Islam is a good religion, Islam is this, Islam is that. And then I cut to the chase and say, okay, do you believe in God? No. I said, well, you know what? Islam does not want you to survive. Islam does not want you to live. You must obey Islam. You must be subjugated to Islam. You will pay the taxes and you'll be subjugated and you will be belittled. That is the text of the Quran. And this is about factual evidence. This is something we see time and time again through historicity. But people do not want to acknowledge this. They don't want to embrace this. In fact, they would rather look as though they are holier than others. And it's subconscious. People don't, you know, purposefully go out to say, hey, look, I'm holier than everybody else. Hey, look, I'm above everybody else. We need to accept all religions. We need to accept all beliefs. But the problem is this, people. Some ideologies are demonstratively in opposition to democracy. And these things can be easily found in the Islamic text. We can find this within many of the Quran's verses. If you are someone who does not believe in Allah, you are subjugated, you are oppressed, you will be threatened, and you will be violated of decency and of freedom of speech under the rules that we as people have within North America, those European Christian the Judeo-Christian influences that we have. All those things can be silenced under Sharia law, under the law of Muhammad. But, you know, interestingly enough, people still discard all this. People discard all this information. Say, oh, come on, we just need to be open. Well, you know, surprisingly enough, we see in the news, if you are looking for it, you will see it easily. Subway, for instance, was subjugated. People within Islam were demanding that pork not be sold in Subway. Who cares what another religion demands on a company that's providing a service? You provide the service, and if you are offended by that company's behavior and what they're doing, walk away. Don't support the service. Don't give them money. Do not give your finances, your currency. Simple. That's democracy. You can walk away and say, forget it, I'm not going to support it. It's the same as what I do for halal. If I find any products that say halal on it, I don't care what it is. If I see halal on it, I'm not supporting it, because I know from research, things that I've seen and read and gone to an intelligent understanding and a validation of seeing that, well, halal directly supports horrible treatment of animals. And not only on top of that, also the support of terrorism. Much of this money goes from halal. It trickles always to the terrorist organizations. Well, I don't want to support terrorism, and so I'm going to walk away from it. I have that choice and that freedom not to purchase those things. Because we live in a democratic society, we have multiple businesses providing products, and you know, I look through everything. I see a lot of halal products. I see, you know, 60% increase or 70% increase in halal products. Guess what? I'm going to buy everything that doesn't have to do with halal, because I don't agree with terrorism and I won't support it. But here we are, we have the youth of our day growing up and saying, look, every religion is peaceful. No, we know in society, through history, not every religion is peaceful. We know about by the Crusades. The Crusades were a defense against Islam and the absolute war that was waged on Judeo-Christian values. In fact, it was Islam that tried to dominate the entire world at one point. And the Crusades, the people in Europe and many places decided, that's it, we had enough, we're going to fight back. And if it wasn't for them, we would all be speaking, we'd be speaking Arabic or some form of Arabic language. Or I should say Arabic subjugation. We would be under the Quran, we'd be under Sharia law, etc. This is clearly what has happened in the past. And so I just want to encourage people to understand what we are seeing of millennials today, what we're seeing of the youth today, is a programming by social programs, by scholastic endeavors. We're seeing it within the schools, we're seeing it within social media. It's a pontification that's going on ad nauseum, and it is to support everything that has to do with feelings rather than what is on facts. And we know by facts that Islam does not tolerate freedom. It does not tolerate democracy, and it definitely won't tolerate you as a feminist or as a liberal to have your own opinion when there is a majority in whatever country there is that becomes the dominant power. And we see this in country after country. In Arabic countries, we see the oppression of many people. You look in any Arabic country, I'll ask you this question: where are the Jews? Every Arabic country, where are the Jews? In the UN, there was a Jewish man who literally challenged the UN on their oppression of the Jews and said, where are the Jews in all these different countries? Nowhere. They're nowhere to be found, because in Arabic countries, they're persecuted. They're silenced. They're killed. They're removed from society. And now what we're seeing currently, we're seeing Christians at an alarming rate. People, we're talking about genocides. The most persecution in the history of mankind, Christians are facing that. Christians are on the brunt end of this right now, currently happening in our society, and yet the world is silent. We're busy dealing with whether our Wi-Fi is connected or not. So anyways, I'm going to stop there. I wanted to just elaborate on what is our society at? What is our culture at? What is our youth at? Our youth are at this place where they've decided that everybody has a right to their individuality unless that individuality challenges someone else's individuality. So you're in a constant flux. You're in a constant place of not feeling happy, not feeling satisfied, because you suddenly oppose or feel that something is may not be correct, and you've come to an evaluation in your mind, a conclusion, and therefore you must be silenced because you have a different voice, a different thought process than the collective within the societies of our day, which, by the way, is heavily influenced by globalism. So I hope you can take this and chew on this and evaluate this and try to evaluate, look at people and see where people are. We are in this huge, weird, kind of odd utopia or supposed utopia where everything is accepted. And yet at the same time, this crazy dichotomy, at the same time we're seeing everybody who opposes anything is silenced. And on Twitter, we are seeing it going like crazy. So many Jews are being silenced on Twitter. Fascism is not even being hidden anymore in Instagram. I mean, in Twitter. We're seeing an absolute silence put to anybody who's conservative, anybody who challenges the status quo, and everybody who speaks the truth. You are being banned, silenced, and removed from Twitter. Twitter has become the extreme fascist social media outlet. Well, I'm signing off for today. I hope this was informative. And continue to follow me wherever you can, on Parlay, on Facebook. Currently, I'm still there until I'm banned. And Parlay, you can check me out there. And I'm sure I'll always be welcomed on Parlay.